Now I have to be all quiet and behave myself. I can get all fired up. Can you hear it okay? All right, good. So we're going to talk, admittedly, a lot of times when the Lord brings something to my heart to speak on, it's something that's usually been sitting in there for quite a while. And then he just gives me direction. You know, if we're going through a series or something, if there's specific scripture we're supposed to talk about, then that's one thing. But if it's a topical, because right now you're in between series, right? Usually when there's a topic the Lord has put on my heart to share, it's something he's kind of sat there for a while and allowed me to kind of chew on it for a long time. This week is different. This is new. This is kind of a journey. It's something that I'm just beginning to walk out, and I think it's actually going to be a years-long process. But this idea, what is the meaning of truth? That is not something we're going to cover here in a few minutes, right? That is a lifelong thing, and all the philosophers would come running in here and want to debate. But we are going to talk about this because it's something that the Lord has put on my heart. I was sharing with Daniel earlier. It is something that the Lord has brought to my mind. There's a scripture in John that says we worship him in spirit and truth. And just this idea, okay, Lord, what is truth? I mean, there's a lot of, in the Bible, there's a lot of different ways the Bible speaks about truth. And so he started unraveling all of this for me, and I thought, whoa, this is really big, because I've walked with him now for 22 years, and I've done as much as I can in my life to serve him in the best way I know possible. But in some regards, you realize, I don't know if that was, it was good, and it was right, and it was as best as I could do at the time, but was it true? And so he's starting to undo this, and so he asked me to begin to start sharing some of this week. And so admittedly, this is some of the things that I'm just starting to tap into, and I feel like I could talk forever on. But so we're going to kind of go on this journey together, admittedly. But let's first pray real quick again, if you don't mind. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to come and share the things that you've been putting on my heart these past few weeks about truth. And Lord, you say throughout your word that we are to honor you and to serve you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us to even get a glimpse of what that is. Lord, our spirits want to commune with you. We want to worship you, but help us to do it in truth, and help us to understand what that is, all its many facets and many levels, or simplify it way down for us to just a single thing even that we could just grab a hold of and move forward, because we want to honor you in every way possible. We want our worship to be pleasing to you. And so, Lord, would you speak through me, and just may you be glorified through this time together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this idea of truth, do you mind putting up the picture? So I told you my wife is in Italy. If you ever get a chance, there's a couple things I wanted to show. There's before I go into the St. Peter's Basilica, she Marco Polo'd me. She texted me a couple days ago. She was in Amalfi, the Amalfi Coast. And there's a cathedral there in the Amalfi Coast in Italy that the tomb of St. Andrew is located underneath. And when we were there a few years ago, this was 7 years ago. 7 years ago we were there. And it's interesting how God does these things, these divine moments, because she was there and she said it felt different than the first time we were there. It was more commercial, and which was fine. But the first time we were there, it was kind of rainy and we didn't have a whole lot of time, but I really wanted to see this thing. It was surprising. I didn't know that his tomb was there. And we went downstairs underneath this cathedral, and his tomb is there. And I'm telling you, I think to this day I've never felt the presence of God as I've ever felt in that moment. I got down, and his tomb's right there, and I just wanted to go right down. You read in Scripture where the presence of God shows up, whether it's an angel, whether it's whatever, and people just are immediately on their face. Right? That's the way I felt. It took everything I had to even stand up, but it was kind of a public area, so I didn't want to just put my nose in the concrete on my way down the steps. But the moment I got in there, I just thought, what on what on earth? This is crazy. And so we just sat in there and just, I think another couple came in at one point, but we just sat in there. I just thought, Lord, this is amazing. To think that this, you're looking at the statue and you think this man walked with Jesus. Like, it's one thing to walk through museums and see great artwork and all that, but you're looking at this going, this guy, he was the first man that Jesus called. Out of everybody in the history of the world, he looked at Andrew and his older brother, or he was the older brother of Peter, and said, come. And Andrew's the one that actually went and recruited Simon Peter, who we know as St. Peter, and said, you need to come and follow him. We found the Messiah. And so to think about that, and then my wife had, she sent me this thing, because I'm like, wow, that must have just really been a divine moment, because it's interesting, it feels different to you today. And she said, yeah, but what's cool is it has been, come to find out, this statue has been dripping manna. It's almost like it's not manna like you'd think in the desert that was more, it was just a little bit different. This is a little bit more liquidy. But it's been seeping out of this statue for 750 years. And they even have this bin that catches it. And so you just think, wow, this... So the reason I bring this up is this idea of truth. Like, we get so busy. We get so busy doing so many things, right? And we have our to-do lists and checklists and all these things. But we're here because of truth. Like, we're here because of Jesus and the truth of who God is. And so then, this is St. Peter's Basilica. This is in the Vatican, again, in Italy. And you start realizing all of these apostles, these disciples, they're buried over there. We have the best country in the world, I believe. But we don't have history like it is over there. These disciples that we read about are buried. So this took 120 years to build. St. Peter's Basilica sits on the site where Peter was crucified, where he was killed on a cross, and he got crucified upside down. He refused to be crucified in the same way that his Lord Jesus was. He says, I'm not worthy. Turn me upside down. And so when we were there the first time, I'm listening. We didn't go on the tour, but we're out in the front, and we're listening to this tour guide, and he was talking about, and he looked over. He goes, that place right over there is about 40 feet from us. He goes, that's where Peter was crucified. And so you look at this, and it's the largest church in the world, size-wise. It's like 740 feet long, 400-and-something feet wide, 400-and-something feet tall, just massive. And you can't see it super well here, but you look at the intricacies. It was designed by Michelangelo and three others. But you think about, this is not, they're not playing church here. Right? They're not doing something just to gather on a Sunday. This is, they knew it deep, deep in their spirit about the truth, and they were passionate about it. That's 120 years. That's like starting something in 1898, in the late 1800s, and just finishing it up this year, going, I think we're good. You don't do that on a whim. That is passion. That is devotion. That is knowing the truth so deeply that you go nuts on this thing. And it is just phenomenal. So I wanted to share that, because for some reason I thought, wow, this idea of truth. And we know the truth, and we do our best to serve God. And the beautiful thing is we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that speaks to us. But there's a level of depth and passion and devotion that we miss a lot of times, I think. And so this is just a reminder of, wow, God is, he's a deep God, and we are to serve him with passion and devotion and in truth. Okay, so let's get into it as best I can, as quickly as I can. So Jesus proclaimed in 14 verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. And in John 8:32, that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You can imagine Peter, right, looking into the eyes of Jesus. And you can imagine him understanding the truth, that he's seeing this man, and he's seeing water being turned into wine. He's seeing people coming back to life. He's seeing people healed. And he and the rest of the disciples, knowing that this is truth. And you can see that Christ comes after the resurrection, that Peter is out fishing again, and he sees him, and he says, "Lord, that's the Lord." And Jesus says, "Why don't you cast your nets on the other side of the boat?" Right? And they don't know he's alive, and as soon as he does, they have all of these fish sitting there, and immediately Peter says, "That's the Lord." He jumps off the boat, goes running to him, and he understands that there's this truth that is welled up, that any doubt that was there before is gone. And what's interesting is that, you know, again, the Lord asks us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, what does that mean? Well, there's the factual truth, right? There's the factual Jesus is Lord. That is, or as I'm telling you, my name is Jeff. That is a fact. There is that aspect of it. And in fact, it's interesting to me that when Jesus is asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you think?" And they're talking about all these different things, and Peter says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ." And it's at that moment when Peter speaks truth and honors Jesus for who he is at his nature, is when Jesus looks at him and gives him essentially his commission, speaks into his identity and his role for his life, and says, in fact, what does he say here? It says, Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." This is Matthew 16. "And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So there's a certain aspect of truth that the Lord honors and blesses. And again, there's this idea of fact, a fact of what truth is. We see John 4:23-24. This is what I talked about here. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So again, why do I feel like I need to talk about this? We're here because we love the Lord. We believe that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Savior of the world. But what's interesting to me is that a lot of millennials, such as yourself, are leaving the church in droves. Why is that? From as many people, and you can answer better than I can, but I've talked to a lot of people because I've been trying to find this out. I actually have a lot of friends who are millennials, and so we just love to talk about the Lord. But they say to me, they want authenticity. They don't want religion anymore. And not that we've ever had religion. Hopefully we aren't that sort of body, right? We don't want that. But they don't want to come into the doors of a church and just play church or just have religion. They look around and go, "What are we doing here? What is this? Who is God? Is he real?" All these things. Whatever it is, they want authenticity and they want truth. And I believe we're all hungering for this truth. But I think it's important we recognize what this is. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And what is truth? Because that's going to narrow it down to authenticity. It's very easy to say Jesus is Lord and someone comes in and says, "So, that's your opinion." But there's something else much deeper when we go to what is truth. Because that is what people are looking for. And that's a statement, that's why it was so broad at the beginning. That's the statement that the whole world is looking for, right? New Age, you name every religion out there, atheists, agnostics, people are just seeking for truth. Some people say, "Well, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. You know, have fun with your life." No, there is a truth. There is a truth, and it goes way beyond just what is fact. So let's talk about this. But we look at the ideas of truth in the Bible, and it can get a little confusing. But this is where it's really important to study the Bible as a whole. Because, and that's called systematic theology, is when you look at the Bible as a whole. And that's super important for those of you who are just beginning to maybe study the Bible, don't know the Bible very well, plan on studying the Bible, to not just take a single verse and grab it and say that's true. Because I guarantee you, for every verse you find in the Bible, you can probably find one that's the exact opposite of it. And that can create confusion. And then people who don't know the Lord, they'll actually use that against any argument that you may have that Jesus is who he says he is. So you need systematic theology. You need to be able to look at the entire Word of God to be able to get a full understanding of who God is. And when you do that, it actually becomes much, much deeper. I guarantee you, much deeper. So with that in mind, because you look at the ideas of truth in the Bible, and I have, so just so you know, there's, before we get into this, I looked up the word truth. How many times truth is mentioned in the Bible? There's 217 times. 127 times is a single word in the Old Testament called emeth. And that's a Hebrew word. The Old Testament is in Hebrew. The New Testament is in Greek. But the Hebrew is a beautiful language, for those of you who don't know. It's a picture language. So what that means is, in English, our words kind of mean just kind of what they mean. Not a whole lot of depth to it. But Hebrew language is beautiful. It's very deep, very broad, sometimes multiple meanings. But there's a richness there that literally, it's a picture language. And we know pictures say 1,000 words, right? There's a lot to it. And so when we go back and look at Scripture as to what things mean, it's really important to be able to pull that out. And then in Greek is more kind of more simplified, like English is. But so when we look at this, we say, okay, this idea of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, what does that mean? Maybe, again, we're not going to go into all of this, but maybe that means, well, he is, it's different than the way and it's different than the life, but the truth. He is who he says he is, who he says is real. He says that he is the only way to the Father. And so maybe that's a fact. So, okay, so there's that definition of truth. Well, now we see in Ephesians 6 the belt of truth. Well, is that fact? What's the belt? It's not the gospel. We know the gospel is true. And a lot of people say the gospel is truth. And that is correct. It is true. But it's not the gospel, because that's something else. That's the gospel of peace. The preparation of the gospel of peace are the shoes. It's not righteousness. Right? That's the helmet. It's not salvation. That's a helmet of salvation. It's not the word of God, because they say that's sort of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right? So you start looking at this going, well, okay, it's truth, but it's not those other things. You see here, now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. Well, that's interesting. He shows kindness. I get that. Why would he show truth to you? What is that? Right? So you start going through these. And then so Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good, for he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? Well, that's interesting. Right? Again, I get peace. Why would he say of all the things, will there not be peace and truth? Wow. That's an interesting statement. There's some depth to it. Next page, if you would. And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and uprightness of heart with you. So you have continued his great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. So as something to do, there's a righteousness, there's an uprightness of heart, and yet there's also something within his character that he served God in truth. And we know that David was a man after God's own heart. He's the one that was proclaimed that. So there's something there. And then this is interesting. This is from David, speaking of David. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Make me to know wisdom. So you desire truth in the inward parts. Okay. Interesting. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So again, Now, see, you're starting to see there's a few nuances. They're all truth. And yet if we were to break these down, and I hesitated to put so many up here, but it could be 10 different, slightly different nuances. And then this last one on this page. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? This is factual, right? Tell the truth. What is it? That's a factual statement. That is much cleaner and easier to understand than those other things. Last page, if you will. Next one. Next page, please. Yeah. Okay, yeah, here we go. So these are the words of Jesus himself. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. See, even this, well, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. See, even when he says truth, I think that's even more than he lies. I think there's something much bigger than that. Again, we want to worship God in spirit and in truth. If there is no truth in the devil, that's a big piece of worshiping the Lord, right? It's not just not telling the truth. It's not just lying. But if we are to worship him in spirit and truth, the devil does not even have a piece of truth in him. And then you see here the spirit of truth. Next up, however, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his authority, on his own authority, but whatever he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And then finally the last two, this is Jesus praying to the Father. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And then finally that last one, which we've seen, we need to honor him in spirit and truth. So as you can see, to me, this could be a lifelong journey, but it's super important to us. I think we're just scratching the surface as to what truth is. But it's something more than just facts, right? I think it's a heart thing. I was telling Sharon and Daniel, I think what the Lord has done for me in my life, and you may be the same, I've walked with the Lord for 22 years, given, again, everything I can, as much as I can, as best I can, like all of us do, to serving him. But the Lord was showing me some things a few weeks ago, and I questioned whether I was serving him whether the way I was serving him was true. It's been good. Taught, preached, mission trips, mentored, prayed for people, seen miracles, like all sorts of things. The Lord has blessed it. It's been good. But I also realized that 22 years ago, and again, you may be the same way, something kicked into gear because I'm by nature kind of a performance-driven guy. Something kicked into gear where I said, okay, if I'm going to serve the Lord, then I'm going to do it with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I did it in a performance way. And maybe justified saying, yeah, we want to do things in an excellent way. And yes, I want to run the race, and I want to hear good and faithful servant at the end. But in my spirit, I felt, it's good. The Lord honored it. He's always given me a tremendous amount of favor in everything that I've done because he's a good God, and he probably does the same thing for you. But was it true? Was it true? And it felt like there's something different. There's something deeper there that we need to go to. And you may be the same way, where if you're performance driven, we want to check the box of yes, I'm doing this and this and this and this. And the Lord honestly probably doesn't give a rip about that. Honestly, we were talking again this morning. It's not about sermons. It's not about anything other than love. Just love and serving him in truth with a true heart. I think it's interesting that two of the most passionate people in the Bible, maybe dysfunctional, but passionate people who loved the Lord more than anyone we can think of. We see that in Old Testament, I mean, there's a lot of people there, but I would say it's probably King David. David was a man after God's own heart. He's the writer of the Psalms, many of the Psalms. He was so passionate for the Lord, and as he was thinking about like St. Peter's Basilica, David was so passionate for the Lord that he wanted to build a tabernacle. He just wanted to build a place that the Lord had never needed a place to sit. His presence was, you know, all around. But he wanted to build this glorious place for God to meet them in, because he loved God. And a lot of his life was a train wreck. It was. But he was just so passionate to the Lord. And what was the other big thing about David? He was real. He was real with the Lord. In all his, I believe that's what set God or set David apart. And you can look at it in the Psalms, is that he was real. And he would tell the Lord, listen, I'm mad at you, or I glorify you, or you know what, that guy's been picking on me, kill him. You know? He'd do it. You know, it's not right. But he was true. He was honest. It was in his heart. And I think a lot of times we lie to God too. He knows what's in our heart. We're mad at someone, whatever. Get it off your chest to the Lord. You know, it's all right. But he was honest. If you would go to the page where it talks about what truth is, write these things. And I think of Peter, right? We looked back where as soon as Peter spoke the truth, right? He was the one that was passionate. All of the disciples loved Jesus. But you can read throughout the New Testament, Peter, for good or bad, Peter was a mess, but he was also the most passionate. He would go and he would do all sorts of stupid stuff, right? He didn't care. He was going to go fly at the seat of his pants. He was the guy that stepped out of the boat and watched Jesus. Jesus said, come here, Peter. And he was the one that said, I'm in. Let's go. And he walked and walked and walked, and he kept his eyes on Jesus. And then the second he dropped his eyes from the Lord, he started sinking, right? And he looked back. But he was the guy that got out of the boat. And then I shared earlier, after the resurrection, he's out in the boat again. And he's fishing. And Jesus says, take the net up, right? Flip it over to the other side. And now there's all this fish. And all of a sudden, Peter and the people he's with, like, that's Jesus. He's back. Everyone else decided to bring up the fish and take their time getting in the boat and bring the boat back to the beach, and they cooked up some fish. Not Peter. Man, he tore his clothes off. It's just his undergarment, jumped off the boat, swam to shore. Right? He is passionate, but he's also, you know, he had some issues. But it's honesty. The truth, these are things. I didn't go into the definition. But I'll talk just very briefly about the Hebrew language. There are two aspects of what faith is. There's faith factually correct, but then there's also the other aspects of dependability and reliability and integrity, right? And so when God says, I am the God of truth, it's not just God is factual. Right? God is true, yes, but God is faithful. He is reliable. He is honest. That's why it says God cannot lie. It's because what he speaks into existence, you can count on. And it's different than science. Like science says this is factual, this is true. Well, that may be fine at this moment. But time and time again, you see science that they think they figure it out, right? And then they have to backtrack, or they have to change it because they found more information, right? Science is just something that looks at things and then builds explanations from and calls it truth. God is truth, right? He puts that into existence, and what he says, who he is reliable and constant and unchangeable and dependable. And his word is factual and accurate, and faithful. That is why God is truth, right? And that's why we are to honor him and worship him in spirit. We have spirit-to-spirit communication with the Holy Spirit. We are to worship him in spirit, but I believe part of this, and again, this is just scratching the surface, but part of that is worshiping Him in truth. And all of that is there, being honest, being constant, being unchangeable, being reliable, being dependable in our worship of Him, right? Walking the walk, talking the talk, but also being honest. So I just pray that we would be like the Davids and Peters of the world, male or female, right? We would be like David and Peter, that are passionate, that just live life just full speed ahead for God, that have such passion that they want to build tabernacles, that they're willing to create something that, you know, all of us as people that say, yeah, I know it's going to take 120 years to build this crazy, big, extravagant, over-the-top, beautiful thing for the Lord. We don't care, because God's worth it, because He is truth. You can look around all throughout this world, and everyone's claiming to be right. God is truth, period. That's it. Everything stands on that foundation. Amen.